to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers.
Well, hello, hello. Good evening. Welcome to Wake the Bear.
Yes, we are. Good to have everybody. Another awesome night. A lot of great things happened. A lot of lies exposed, and I can't wait to cover those things this time around. So we're looking forward to some good stuff tonight.
And tonight's show number 129, State of the Minions, State of Confusion. A lot of liars being exposed. We got a lot to cover tonight. We just want to welcome everybody. My name is Brandon Johnson. I'm one of your co-hosts. I've got Chris and Ron on here with us once again. We are Wake the Bear Radio. We've been called to be hosts to start this this show, Wake the Bear. The Bear is California, and she is waking up. And we're in the midst of a great awakening as a nation and as a state. It's actually pretty amazing to see how many people are awakening, who are no longer just believing the mainstream lies. You know, one of the names that we were initially going to call this show was Question the Narrative, because, well, the narrative needs to be questioned. A lot of us took on the badge of courage, that phrase, the dreaded conspiracy theorist, right? Conspiracy theorist. And then, about 9 months later, we look like geniuses because all the conspiracies all came true. So we're in the midst right now of that conspiracy theorist title losing its power and losing its control. I mean, it's basically meant to keep Christians, keep conservatives silent, keep people that would question the mainstream narrative silent and shame us into silence so that we don't question and don't think deeply. And of course, that's just ridiculous. So, we cover topics in California and the United States every week, all from around the globe and around the world. We like to focus mostly on California because that's where we are and that's the state we love. But we're really speaking about whatever is going on that really has to do with the Patriot Saints in America, in California. And I use that phrase specifically. Patriots are becoming Christians and Christians are becoming patriots. And so we're seeing this awakening take place. We got a great show for you guys tonight. I want to just give you a couple quick things about how to contact us. We would love to receive your emails. We would love to receive contact from you out there. Hey, what did you like about the show? What didn't you like? You can find us on wakethebearradio.com, and all of our shows are actually listed at wakethebearradio.com. And, we're called the radio because we actually started on local radio, KSCO, and then we decided that we were reaching a much broader reach when we actually moved to the internet. But you can see there on Wake the Bear Radio, you can see all of our shows at the bottom. And then in the upper right-hand corner of that actual heading, you can watch our live stuff. And so like tonight, if you're watching right now live, you click on that little blue button there that just says, live, Cloud Hub, Rumble, and you can watch the live shows there. I'll take you to a screen and let you jump on, or you can watch any of our past shows, and they're all really great. It's interesting how with this particular theme of this show, every single show we've done is still relevant to today. Mm-hmm. Going on. And so we'd love to hear from you. You can get a hold of us at wakethebearradio.com. You can email me, Brandon at wakethebearradio.com, or Chris, K-R-I-S at wakethebearradio.com, or Ron, R-O-N at wakethebearradio.com. Please email us. Please tell us what you liked, what you didn't like, what you agreed with, what you didn't agree with. Like, what did we get wrong? We're not perfect by any means. We're trying to just stay up on what's going on out there. And we really just want to, push the envelope a bit and ask questions people aren't asking. So that's kind of the general thrust of what we're about. But tonight, our tonight's show is the State of the Minions. I love the picture that Ron showed us. The Minions.
Oh my goodness. Is that what those guys are called? There's a picture up of Biden at the State of the Union, and he is surrounded by these little mini-me minions with their goggles on. So
yeah, they just kind of are dumb little characters that do whatever he says. And so, rather than talking about the state of the country or the union, he was really focused in on his narratives and what his minions are doing. So I thought it would be appropriate to, yeah, they're wearing white.
Yeah. We put up a picture of the coalition of Democrats that came in solidarity wearing white. They did that with President Trump, didn't they, with Nancy Pelosi? That's her famous tearing up Trump's speech at the end, standing behind him in her white dress. I noticed Kamala Harris did not wear white. She wore a dark color. So there's probably a story around that, because she's definitely one of the minions.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's interesting that they would choose white, because the direction of the Democratic Party is so dark. I mean, it's so not, I mean, the Bible talks about the, you know, the even Satan masquerades as an angel of light, you know? So these people are projecting one thing, but doing something else, like, you know, proposing to keep abortion up to the moment of birth and even after in places like Virginia.
Yeah.
So there, you know, there's just a level of wickedness going on. And I think that was on full display. I didn't watch the entire State of the Union. I think you did, Chris. Maybe you could share with us what were the key themes and what was the response to that speech?
Yeah. I mean, just to think back, remember what the State of the Union is. It's a speech that has been around for many, many years. It is where the president addresses both houses of the Congress, and he lets them know what is going on. And basically, it's a constitutional precedent that it's a requirement. And the Constitution states that it's recommended to consider such measures as the president should judge necessary and expedient. So there's a lot of room for what the president can put in there. In recent history, back in the 60s, it went live. And so now it wasn't only a congressional type of communication, but it was to the American people, because it came into their black and white TV sets in their living rooms. And so the whole country could see the State of the Union. And so that's a little bit of the history. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, it seems like it's supposed to be something that's supposed to rally both sides and say, hey, we're all Americans, let's work together. It seems like that's the focus of it, is how do we make a more perfect union between all these states and all these factions of government?
Yes, it's supposed to be bipartisan. It's supposed to unite the nation. It's supposed to release a patriotism. And then also caution people where we need to be careful, but also champion our nation, as one. Wow. And what we saw was really a continuation of a political campaign during this year's State of the Union address by Biden. The first thing that happened was he was a good 20 minutes late, and that's pretty unusual. It felt disrespectful, according to the commentators who were waiting. And, you know, everybody is there standing, and they're chatting around, and they're visiting, and they're having their selfies. And then he finally showed up. They had shown on the news that there was an anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian blockade of his motorcade. So I wasn't quite sure what was going on there. So it started out late. It wasn't a very long speech, as speeches go, but it was very long for Biden, who definitely got adrenalized, I'm sure. He was on something, because he spoke rather rapidly, and he was reading very fast, and he had this energy to him that was almost a hyper energy. And quite often when he would say something that the left like, and, you know, they divide the room, and most of the camera angles were on the left. They didn't show the Republicans hardly at all, but they kept chanting four more years, four more years. So it felt more like a political rally, really, than the State of the Union.
Well, that's interesting. You know, if you think about it, this would be Biden's largest crowd ever at one of his rallies.
Yeah.
Yes, and half of them weren't for him, were they?
Yeah, right. So, you know, Trump pulls off these thousands, you know, 20,000 people show up and they're standing room only. Biden's really got to use, when he gets some people together, he's got to really use it correctly for his political means, apparently. You know, what I noticed is that it seemed really, really dark, and it seemed really, it was like he attacked half the country. I mean, he went after Trump supporters, which that is, you know, attacking half the country. And so I think that that's really significant, that here you're supposed to be unifying people together and you're attacking a MAGA, people that want to make America great again. You're attacking people that you're supposed to be uniting with. You're attacking them, directly attacking them instead.
Yeah. Yeah. When he first entered in, there was a very long time it took for him to go to the podium. And normally it'll take maybe 2-3 minutes and there's some handshaking and pomp and circumstances. It took him a good 10 to 12 minutes to get to the podium. And most of the time he was taking selfies with people. And it was very strange because there were many Democratic leaders who'd hand them their cell phones and then they'd get in this selfie. And it just felt strange to me. Like, is this really the time to be taking your pictures? Marjorie Taylor Greene, who also had some things to say during the speech, she met him at the door and gave him a button. And she was wearing a T-shirt that said, "Say her name." And handed the button, and you could hear, because the cameras were following, she asked him to take the button and sometime during the speech say her name. And so I think we can start maybe with who her is.
Yeah.
And what it was that was being communicated during that time.
This was a young woman who was murdered, right? Brutally murdered by... an immigrant, right? An illegal immigrant, someone who was an alien, who was here without legal, who had actually committed crimes in the past, who they should have deported and they didn't. And then the last major thing he did was kill this young woman. I think she was what, 22 or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 22. Yeah, she was just, she just graduated out of high school in 2020. And so, she went on to nursing school. And was at the, University of Georgia,
mm-hmm.
Or in there. But, you know, she was a very productive person. I mean, she was in the Alpha Chi Omega sorority. She was in the cross country. That's why she was running that morning. And sadly to say that she died of blunt hit to the head, by this illegal. And, you know, what really turned my stomach was, that... we should be apologizing to her parents for this, you know, or at least the president should, because of his policies. And instead, he seemed like he was apologizing to the criminal, and it was really interesting to contrast the way he was handling the criminal, saying, well, I should have just said undocumented, not called him an illegal, you know. And then you hear Trump, and Trump's like, this person shouldn't have ever been in this country. He's a killer and a murderer and a criminal, you know. And so I think people are going to really resonate with that. You call it what it is, and he should have never been in this country. And Trump has warned us over and over, they are draining their prisons, they're draining their insane asylums, the sick and all those, and they're having them all come to America or all come to the US. And you know, this is just the beginning. There was a 12-year-old boy that was hit or died in a head-on, last week as well, from mm-hmm. an illegal driving. And, and I know those things can happen, where, you know, anywhere, but still, it's adding to the problem.
Yeah, it is adding to the problem. And during the speech, he was bringing up, Biden was bringing up the border issue, and Marjorie Taylor Greene yelled out, "Say her name." And Biden, he went off script, and he pulls up the button that Marjorie Taylor Greene had given him on the entry time. And he starts talking about uh, the, that it was very sad that she was murdered, that Lincoln Riley was murdered. So he messed up on her name. Her name's Lakin Riley.
Lakin, not Lincoln.
And it was there on the button, so he could have read it. So it was one of those snafus that when you're wanting to bring somebody to honor them and then you get their name wrong, it just appears that you really don't pay attention and you don't really care that much.
Well, it
and
wasn't
that,
part of his speech. It wasn't part of his speech anyway.
That's right. It was the one part. He went off script. And
his brain is barely there. Oh, I should do something because someone told me to do it. And, you know, and
her name. There was another disruption during it that was interesting, and the camera showed it for a little bit up in the balcony. There was a man who got up and started yelling. He was very nicely dressed and belonged in there in the chambers. And it turned out he was arrested. He's a Gold Star dad. He was removed from the balcony, and his son was killed during all that chaotic withdrawal of Afghanistan in 2021. You know, that war that cost us $2 trillion of our money and went to Raytheon and, you know, Lockheed Martin and the rest of the industrialized military complex. But he was taken off right away. But when they were talking about Ukraine and wanting to get more involved, and Ukraine can win this thing, is what Biden said, which just, I mean, they've had a chance. And the truth is, Ukraine cannot win this thing against Russia. But that was when the Gold Star dad stood up and he started, you could tell he was in agony. He just started yelling. So those were the two disruptions that are a little bit unusual for a State of the Union address.
Yeah. You know, I had read some opinions on this State of the Union, and I wanted to get someone else's opinion on it. And Ron Paul, I've always had a deep respect for. In fact, before President Trump came onto the scene, I was a big Ron Paul fan, always liked his stuff. And he did something that came out today, actually. He called it Biden's Nightmare in America State of the Union. And that's a playoff of Morning Time in America, because Ronald Reagan used to have that. And so he makes some really great observations. You know, the first thing he does out of the gate is he starts his speech off by comparing Trump to Hitler, you know. And so he's starting to do that, and he's starting to build the narrative. And he says, if you don't vote for me, then you're like an insurrectionist, you know? And so he started to really divide, you know, rather than pull together. And in the past, I've always seen them try to pull together, you know, the right and the left together. Yeah. We need to, you know, better together on this stuff. And so he compares them. He compares Putin to Hitler, and that Putin is on the march throughout Europe, just like Hitler was in 1941, you know? And so he's building this whole fear that, hey, we need to support Ukraine because these guys are like Hitler. And, you know, it's basically fear mongering. And Ron Paul said he had zero evidence for any of that stuff. In fact, he quotes, you know, Putin was told Tucker Carlson a couple of weeks ago he had no interest in going beyond Ukraine. You know, whether that's true or not, that is kind of the only interest we had. You know, we spend all this money. So Ron Paul was really turned off by all the bizarre things. And he basically called the whole thing a spectacle of nonsense. That's what his State of the Union was, in his opinion. And so he had a very low opinion of the whole thing. And I think most of us did. I didn't spend time to watch. I didn't want to give him the clicks. I just was not interested. You know how frustrating it is when you hear lies that you know are lies? You know, he talked about the inflation is, or, you know, that there is no inflation, like, you know, it's really low and all that. And everybody knows that's not true, you know? And so the big two factors that he has that he's going to run off of are woman's right to abortion. You can kill your baby. And so if you're with us, we're going to protect that. We're going to make that go through for everybody, force everybody, you know? And the other one is, you know, we need to, we need to keep the big bad boogeyman away from Europe because we're going to have to send our kids over if we don't do it now. And so support the war in Ukraine and support abortion.
Yeah, which is neither are really American values or the state of the union.
Or really like anything that any American is actually really caring about right now. Like the majority of Americans are worried about, you know, how are you going to get cheaper eggs? And the, you know, how come the gas price is so high? How come inflation is so bad? How come there's so much violence and criminality going on the streets? I mean, there's all of these things and the border. Like you could take the top 10 things that Americans care about, and he talked about none of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. And I counted 7 times he referred to Trump, but he didn't call him by name. He called him my predecessor. And he was blaming. He said, my predecessor is a threat to democracy. My predecessor is responsible for this inflation. My predecessor is responsible for the border crisis. And it was, you know, basically his predecessor is bad. And he also said that we need to stand for these trans children. They need to know they're being supported, that there are children too. And then that January 6th was the worst American crisis since the Civil War. Well, evidently he forgot about World War I and World War II and 9/11 and calling it an insurrection, an afternoon of taking selfies in the Capitol, on one half of the Capitol, the other a crowd that was being tear gassed and incited by outside provocateurs. There was the violent part, but the there was no one carrying guns or you know, pitchforks or the things that you'd expect.
That's the big thing, Chris, that's going on right now that just came out, that Liz Cheney, who is a deep state operative, part of the January 6th Select Committee, lied that it was a big show to cover up exculpatory evidence for those people who were arrested and make them look bad. It was the United States version of the Reichstag. Like when Hitler wanted to blame somebody so that he could take power, he had the Reichstag burned, and then he blamed it on a socialist Dutch worker, and then everybody got angry at this. So they're trying to ferment anger towards these Christian nationalists, these right-wingers, and they created this event, and then they put it on live television for like weeks and didn't actually – and actually, they destroyed evidence. So there was a complete publicity stunt to ferment anger towards Christians who care about this country and where it's going. And it's come out today, right? Yeah, Liz Cheney covered up the Trump's push for National Guard. Now, what was that? Trump actually pushed to have National Guard that day?
Yeah. So what happened? According to the Trump's former White House Deputy Chief of Staff, Anthony Ornato. He had a testimony that just came out, and basically he said, hey, look, Trump did in fact ask and offer 10,000 National Guard to be there on that day, January 6th, and they turned it down. And so in the past, they have always suppressed that information. So anyway, his testimony came out in court, and basically it shows that Liz Cheney, because when they asked Liz Cheney, I saw the video this week, she's like, we couldn't get a hold of them. They made themselves unavailable. And Casper Tell's like, no, I personally called many times. Yeah. I sent letters, or emails. And so it was direct opposition to what Casper Tell says. So this guy's testimony.
Right. And remind us again, Casper Tell's position in Trump's administration.
Oh, it's I'm blanking out.
Was he chief of staff?
Well, this one's Anthony Ornato is the deputy chief of staff. So maybe he's I'll have to look him up.
Well, Cash Patel said, I was there in the White House when Trump wrote the letter and called them and said, hey, we'll deploy 10,000 National Guards. It's going to be crazy. There's going to be a lot of people that you're going to need to like stabilize what's going on. Let's get them there. And Mayor Bowser and Nancy Pelosi, they denied it. They said, no, we don't want them. And I, and you know, this was already done before. I mean, you remember when the National Guard was standing around all the monuments, the Lincoln Memorial, and they were had no arm, no weapons. They were just standing there protecting monuments. This happened during the real insurrection when the coup happened and the president, this resident in chief became the president. Biden actually, they actually put up gates with guys standing with rifles, right? National Guard up and down on the day of the actual swearing in. Yes. So it wasn't like it was that big of a deal or that different of what's already been done, but they didn't want to do it because they didn't want, they didn't want the optics, or they actually literally had planned. Well, if that happens, then we can't control what happens and we can't get good video clips of MAGA people looking bad, because we've been trying to get video clips of MAGA people looking bad and they're just not bad. We can't find anything. So this whole thing was created.
Yeah, that lie. This whole lie of Liz Cheney.
Yep. So that's exactly. And you know, there's a two-step process. The two-step process is that the commander in chief has the ability to offer the National Guard. It has to be upon request. So they approached Mayor Bowser and also the chief of Capitol Police. Those are the two that can make the request. And so they got denied. You know, when they said, hey, we can offer these, they said, no, we don't want them. So they specifically said, we don't want them. So, yeah. So anyway, she was caught in her lies. You know, that's another one. So Biden, in his speech, he lied. Liz Cheney lied. She got caught in her lies. So these are good things. And the reason why I say Biden was caught in his lies is because people aren't buying what he was saying. He was very frustrated, very angry. You know, when he says the economy is doing well, everybody knows that's not true. And so they're being caught in their lies. And so I consider those two victories this week, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lots of lies. You know, there's another lie that got exposed this week as well. And it's, hang on, I got a dog. Anyway. Yeah, in the office. Yeah, let me load this one up. It's a star witness. Remember Cassidy Hutchinson? She talked about Donald Trump being in the beast, you know, the motorcade, and he lunged forward and grabbed the steering wheel, and you know, which we had a fun time trying to, you know, talk
about.
That
was after that. Supposedly after his speech on January 6th, is that right? And they decided they were not going on to the Capitol. But her testimony was something about he wanted to go to the Capitol, so he took the steering wheel out of the driver's hand and demanded that. Is that?
Yeah. And so the driver actually had his testimony. And so he came and basically told everybody that, no, none of that is true. Down here, he says, I did not see him reach. Never grabbed the steering wheel. I didn't see him, you know, lunge or try to get into the front seat at all. So that's word for word quote there that the driver testified. So it really destroys this Cassidy Hutchinson, this other liar, you know, destroyed her
lie. But here we are 3.5 years later.
Wow. I know.
And this has been sitting out there in the atmosphere, these lies that we've heard before. If you say something enough time, it's often believed, whether it's true or not, because it goes in to your unconscious and you're hearing it. And it's why truth is so important that we tell the truth. Our minds go to try and believe certain things. And this along with so many things, for 3.5 years we have dealt with so many of these lies. The other thing is about the defending the border, you know, that Biden didn't say in his speech, and I know we may have passed the time for the State of the Union address, but he didn't say anything about all these people being flown in. These people are illegal immigrants.
Right.
Do you know that last week Biden insisted that We don't call them illegal aliens or illegal immigrants anymore. They are called newcomers. And what he said on the interview when MSNBC was asking him about when he used the word illegal immigrant during the State of the Union, Biden actually said, oh, no, I shouldn't have said that. I should have said undocumented person. It was undocumented. I made a mistake. I won't treat any of these people with disrespect. And the interviewer, who obviously was there to clean up the story and the narrative, said, so you're saying that you regret using that term? And Biden said, oh, yes, 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 yes. And so we see this play of deception using these words. And the truth is that these words like illegal immigrant or illegal alien, it's in our Constitution. And there's a law that describes what an illegal alien is, so that if someone crosses the border illegally and they're aided and abetted in doing so, you are breaking the law by aiding that illegal alien, according to U.S. Code 1325, which is part of the Constitution. Well, it's based on an Article 4 in the Constitution. So just there's a form of lying that's through deception and twisting of words. And he did sort of have a reptilian look in his eye on Tuesday night.
Black. His eyes were black.
They were.
I mean, yeah, it might be adrenochrome or something.
If you seen him, see him like 10 years ago, his eyes are nice baby blue. You know, you can really see the color.
Yeah, and he had bags under his eyes, and
he just looked dark. I mean, it looks like if you're doing some deliverance, that might be what the person looks like. And yeah, that was pretty sad. You know, the concept of calling people newcomers. You know, he also blamed Republicans for how the border is, which is complete insanity.
Yeah.
Because we put a bill together and the Republicans wouldn't sign it. Well, yeah, the bill had like $65 billion for Ukraine in it. And they put up this bill, stuff a bunch of things that they know the Republicans won't vote for. And then they say, see, oh, this is really the Republicans' fault. And it's like, no, you reversed like 90 things that President Trump did on the border that had the border secure. You don't have to get the laws already exist. You don't have to get bill passed.
That's right. You just enforce the one you have.
It's already been passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of the infant to be the commander in chief. And one of his main jobs is to protect the borders of the United States of America. It was one of the main jobs that the president in the executive position is required to do. He's not doing it. And now he's blaming it because the Republicans won't want to spend $65 billion towards Ukraine again.
Yeah. Very interesting that Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, he wrote on his website, and here it is, he has 64 instances where the Biden administration undermined the border security of the country. Yeah. And I'll just go through just a handful just to give you an idea. The first one, on January 20th, 2021, that's his first day, right? First day, says Biden, President Biden terminated the national emergency at the southwest border, halting the emergency construction of the border wall. So day one. Stops the construction of the border wall. The same day, he also issued an executive order further entrenching the unlawful deferral action of childhood arrivals, or DACA, that program. And basically what is saying is it's telling illegal aliens, you know, that they'll support amnesty and that illegal aliens need not fear that the U.S. Will come after them with immigration enforcement. And then there's a whole bunch of them where he just cancels immigration laws. You know, on the same day, he revoked the Trump era executive order that is designed to ensure a meaningful enforcement of U.S. immigration laws. So he was just canceling him off. And anyway, he goes down throughout the rest of the year. And I'm going to put this in our show notes because it goes down every month, the things he was doing, you know. Mm-hmm. February 25th, the administration speeds up the releases of undocumented alien children that are UACs, you know. And so he just does this over and over. And it's just really frustrating all the way up to, I mean, he's still actively doing it January 2023. He's still doing stuff. Let's see if he has any in 2024. Yeah, January 3rd, 2024, the last one so far. It says the Biden administration sued the state of Texas for enforcing a recently enacted Texas state law to allow Texas judges and magistrates to order illegal aliens to return to their foreign nation from which they entered. I mean, he sued them. He's like, you can't keep them out, you know? Mm-hmm. So he's been active the whole time.
And that case is going up to a higher court. So right now the courts are upholding Texas having its autonomy basically to keep their border safe as a state. So at the smaller governance level. So they're waiting to hear on that. And just talking about changing the laws too, with Lake and Riley's death, her tragic death, it rallied members of Congress to create a bipartisan bill. So I was surprised it was bipartisan, but I thought, I don't know how you can vote against this. That was
they only had 37 that voted. Only 37 Democrats voted for it, though.
I know. But what it was is the Lake and Riley Act was put forth by Representative Thomas Massey, and he introduced this that would require DHS, basically our Border Patrol and our Department of Homeland Security, to detain aliens charged in the U.S. with theft. And it was passed. So the Lake and Riley Act was passed. 251 to 170 votes voted against it. So there were only, like you said, 37 Democrats joining in. But this allows the states to sue the federal government for failing to enforce immigration laws. So they can press it forward if there are dangerous criminals that are doing acts of violence and theft in their states. And, you know, Lake and Riley, the man who murdered, allegedly, because he hasn't gone to trial yet, and this is America, his name was Antonio Ibarra, and he was a 26-year-old Venezuelan who came in illegally, and he'd already been charged in several states at a state level and then also at a federal level, and he had a bench warrant out for him because he failed to appear for court for a shoplifting case. And there you see the theft. If they'd gotten him for the theft, then he would have been stopped from murder later on had he been deported. Yeah. And so at least that's the one silver lining, I think, to Lake and Riley. My heart goes out to her parents. I can't imagine losing a young lady in the prime with so much ahead of her.
Yeah.
You might have saw this, and I don't know if you did or not, but there was this exchange that Mike Johnson had with Jerry Nadler, and it was pretty significant. And I don't think I pulled it up here, but I do have something, just an image to show, a video to show, and that's, and I, you know, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but basically Jerry Nadler's up here going, hey, well, we're not actually making them voters. And Jim Jordan and Mike Johnson are like, no, that's actually what's going on. They're trying to turn, this is the play. The Democrats are trying to turn these, people that have very little skills to contribute to America right off the bat. They're paying them not to do anything but just sit in hotels. And if you remember back in the video 10,000 Mules, the NGOs were paying people on the streets to go to 10 different boxes and drop off mail-in ballots, right? That they found somewhere and go to different ones so there was a strategy here to get people who are on the lower income or drug addicted, who need money so bad that they'll do exactly what you want them to do, because you give them a little bit of money and say, go drop these off. And they're like, hey, what do I care? And so they'll go do it because they're going to get $1,000 or whatever for it. So you've brought in all of these people, and this House Judiciary Committee was talking about this, you know, situation, and Mike Johnson says, you know, well, they're actually making these guys voters. And he said, oh no, they're not allowed to vote, you know. And he said, well, no, they are. And he says, well, from far as I'm concerned, they can only vote in local elections. He's like, yes, there you go. That's
called voting.
That's what you're doing. You're going to give them a chance to vote in local elections, and then so that they can vote in other things as well, because you're making them into voters.
Yeah. You're presenting that. And Tucker Carlson, he did a show, and you can see him on X under his station, the Tucker Carlson. He was talking about that they're going to steal the election.
Yes.
And he showed A.G. Garland, who is the highest enforcer of law in our country. He was being interviewed in Alabama, and he stated that the Justice Department is challenging efforts by states and jurisdictions to implement what he said discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary restrictions to accessing ballots, including mail-in voting, use of drop boxes, and the need to have voter ID requirements. Mm-hmm. And that's why he said, that's why we, as the Justice Department, are blocking the discriminatory redistricting plans, but also all these other things that are causing undue hardships on the voter. They're creating a dilution for the color vote, he specifically said. And he said it's racist, basically, to ask people to prove their identity, to bring forth an ID card when they vote for someone, especially the next president. And it sounds like Garland is advocating this mass voter fraud by saying that he, as his Justice Department, is opposing the states asking for voter ID and trying to get rid of mail-in voting and drop boxes.
Yeah. And it's interesting. If you see that, you know, there's a guy out on the streets, and he was actually taking a mic out there, and he's asking people in Harlem and other places where they're predominantly black voters. And he's like, don't you think it's kind of like racist to assume that black people can't get an ID? Do you have an ID? They're like, of course I have an ID. What are you talking about? Of course that's racist, like, to assume that black people aren't smart enough to get themselves IDs. And every single person that they interviewed and asked that question to was one, offended, and two, had an ID. Like, who are you exactly? So you're using this pretend narrative.
Yeah.
Pretend as though you're being gracious and you're being not racist to actually circumvent legal voting in our country. That's what's going on.
Yeah, it's very ugly.
I think Elon Musk really brought some things to light regarding this, that, you know, what's the motivation for having so many illegals come into the country? And this guy, Greg Price, you know, he said not a single Democrat senator voted for Senator Bill Hagerty's amendment to stop illegal aliens from being counted in the apportionment for congressional districts and the Electoral College. So even if they didn't vote, if you have a high number, a big population of illegals, you bumped up their power and their, you know, I mean, look at California, right?
Interesting.
Yeah. And so Elon says, you know, most Americans do not know that the U.S. Census currently counts, for purposes of voting power, all the people in a district, regardless of citizenship. So Senate Democrats just voted unanimously to defeat an amendment that would have stopped counting illegals
for
their congressional seats. And there's a whole article on it. But, you know, he sees through it. I just thank God that God is using Elon to bring out truths like that. You know, so people will see it. That's why. I mean, it's just, it's not compassion at all. It is not compassion. And you know that because, you know, the some of these blue cities, they've already used up their worthiness in their eyes. So they're like replacing them, you know. And that's why you see all these, you know, impoverished African Americans in these blue cities, and they're saying, hey, we're not getting any funds anymore. It's going all to the illegals. Well, it's because a lot of them are starting to change, and, you know, they need rapidly more votes. And so I think that's what it's really about.
Yeah. Because when the shekels come the shackles. And if you're relying on government, You are no longer relying on your own labor and your own ingenuity. You're reliant on them giving it to you. There was a thing I just posted on X just the other day, and it's this Arabic man who has three wives, and he has like 10 kids, and he doesn't work, and the government pays for everything. I think it's in London. It's in London. So he's not actually working at all. So basically, the government now controls that person. That's the plan. That's the plan of the
alliance. Yeah.
Is everybody's on the government toll, and they can control you by giving you or not taking away your money, crushing small businesses, making huge corporate businesses, and they just gain more and more money. I mean, it was the largest transfer of wealth during the COVID-19 lockdowns in human history. You know, this is proven, and they're going to diminish the middle class. So there's just basically the upper echelon class and a weak class, impoverished class, that will do everything that the government wants them to do. That's the plan.
Did we see that somewhere? Hunger Games, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hunger Games.
Another demographic I saw that Charlie Kirk put out. It was interesting. Just, you know, I saw it today. You know, if only married people voted, and it's on the left, you see how much red there is. These states would definitely go red. And then it says if only unmarried people voted. And it's just really interesting. You can't obviously make a blanket assumption on things, but it is interesting that, you know, married people, they have a lot of times they have families, more family oriented. The younger ones that aren't married yet, you know, they're just exploring things. I just found that kind of interesting. It just kind of jumped out at me, you know, and you kind of see that. And it's still a big section of the Midwest is still red, you know, and it is more family oriented. It seems like, you know, I mean, you go to Hollywood, that is not family oriented, right? I mean, yes, there are families, but it's not the nuclear family, you know, they're trying to destroy the family. And so you see it reflected in these areas. So,
and anyway, so this graphic states that it's to the disadvantage of the Democratic Party to have stable families that stay married, according to that that demographic. I want to go back to the idea of the electoral colleges being. I'm a little disturbed after hearing that news that it's being determined by census, because in the last election where Trump won, he won because of the electoral college. And so what is a very real possibility, because we do not know how many illegal aliens there are right now in our nation. We've heard numbers of 10, 12 million, 15 million. And those are just rough estimates. If that were true and the electoral colleges determined our next president, we're going to need the popular vote more than ever, which has a higher ability to be tweaked, like the whole Garland situation where you can cheat. There's more cheating allowed with all these mail-in ballots, obviously, and drop boxes, and obviously there's a plan, because Biden cannot win right now if we have fair elections.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know about this whole electoral college thing, though. I mean, that's just disturbing.
Well, yeah. I think the key is, I think you're right. And he can't win. They know he can't win. But, and this is the weird thing. Most Americans, good people, they would never, they don't want to believe that their government officials are actually rigging elections. They want to believe the best about people. So when the media throws out, oh, it was the safest election, fairest election ever, they want to believe that about their country. They don't want to believe, but it's just taken this long drawn out process to convince people who are hardened in their position that, oh, it was a fair election, to finally come to the conclusion, okay, yeah, I was wrong. It's not a fair election. There's no way this guy got 81 million votes, more votes than any other president in the United States history. No, I don't think so. And so there, it's like, you know, it goes back to that phrase. You can't tell people what happened. You have to show them, because they actually have to come to the conclusion on their own. That's part of waking up the sleepwalker. You have to let them wake up on their own, and, you know, at the different speeds. And it's just taking forever, because some people are so, just so brainwashed. They just, it's coming from like a good place. I just don't want to believe that people would do that. No, you don't understand. There are full-on communists in our country. Yeah. They want communism. They are pushing for it. They're doing everything they can to subvert your vote. And they're calling themselves Democrats, but they're not, but they're just subverting democracy. And they're bringing about the things that they have planned to bring about to their end. That is going on. And you've got to wake up. You've got to wake up. That's what's going on right now. Yeah. And if you don't get in the fight, you are your silence is consent, and you're contributing to the problem instead of waking up and realizing you got to be involved. And that's why some of us, Chris and I and others, we ran for, you know, GOP Central Committee, because we've got to find a way to get people to wake up, and we've got to work together to do it. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff for sure.
What's next? What about the Oscars? Here's the way to keep you. This is the mind control, the heart of mind control, the Hollywood. And tell us about what happened the other night. Wasn't that yesterday?
Yeah. I didn't watch it myself. I just watched the clips. I cannot stand. It's really hard to stomach people worshiping themselves. You know,
yes.
It's like a self-glorification. I'm just so great. And the thank you of with all my great friends. And, you know, it's just like, they're just a sick bunch of people, really. And I thought they hit a new low. I'm not going to bring any pictures, but John Cena, the WWF guy, you know, he's been on Fast and Furious and a couple other movies, you know, just a big bodybuilding looking guy. You know, he comes out completely naked, holding a little card right in front of his genitals, you know, and it's just like, one, I thought it was just a degradation of men, you know, and they did it for women for lots of years too. Although I don't know if they ever had a fully naked woman, but he comes out there, you know, and it's just so much like Hollywood. I mean, it's just like, I'm just so tired of, you know, how far can we push the envelope each year? And so, you know, but the one thing I did like about it was, or at least the clip I saw, was that Trump, man, he threw out some bait and they took it. And I was, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, he just totally trolled him, and Jimmy Kimmel could not resist. And so, let me just show that, because it basically, he said a bunch of things against Jimmy Kimmel, and he actually had Jimmy Kimmel reading it. And yeah, Jimmy Kimmel may think it's sarcastic or something, you know, by him doing it, but he really got the message out, and everybody, at least maybe not there, agrees with what Trump has said. So let me just play this real quick.
Very good.
A review, and has there ever been a worse host than Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars? His opening was that of a less than average person trying too hard to be something which he is not and never can be. Get rid of Kimmel and perhaps replace him with another washed up but cheap ABC talent, George Sloppenopoulos. He would make everybody on stage look bigger, stronger, and more glamorous. Blah, blah, blah. Make America great again.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just classic that you actually have him read it about himself, you know.
He's brilliant. Yeah, they can't brilliant. Help themselves. They cannot help themselves but promote Trump and slam him and try to make him look bad. And it does the exact opposite. It makes people more love him.
Yeah. I mean, what was so funny, it was like right on the fly. I mean, that message, that tweet, not tweet, but it was a truth. That truth was probably only like 5 minutes old. You know, it's in the middle of the show. And Trump's probably like, I'm going to put a truth out there, and boom, it goes on, and he reads it about himself. I just think he must have had a good kick out of it. I sure got a kick out of it.
Yeah. We got to remember too that the Oscars, like a lot of these award shows, they are they're a religious ceremony. They're a ritual going on. There is worship going on. Those golden statues are idolatrous. I mean, it's like kind of a golden Buddha or some sort of, it represents something spiritually. And it is a form of self-edifying. And Liz Croken, I don't know if you either, if you follow her, but
oh, yeah.
But she says that, you know, the walk across the stage of the nudity was a humiliation ritual. Mm-hmm. And it was just another example that Hollywood pedophiles, rapists, and perverts are certainly enjoying this. Let's not forget that Kimmel had Tom Hanks do a skit on his show sexualizing little girls, where he called a child a sexy baby and had her sing "Talk Dirty to Me." Also, Kimmel ran another skit on his show featuring FBI-identified pedophile symbolized in pizza. Pizza's a pedophile code. You know, we all knew that, but Croken was writing this. And so he had this pizza delivery to on purpose to give an example of the pedophile code. And so I've seen a couple of other very off-color things that he's done of sexualization. And so we just know these people are doing more than an awards show at the awards show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. You know, Elon Musk just said, you know, recently, a couple of days ago, trying to help people understand what's going on right now is like going back into a burning building to pull someone out, only to have them keep punching you in the face and demand evidence that the building is on fire, even after they admit they can see the flames.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Sound of Freedom came out, you know, the Epstein list is still not out. You know, they all hate Trump. And most of them are scared to death of the fact that he said he's going to go after more pedophiles. And you got guys on, you know, the show the other night. It was Robert De Niro. He's like, I'm terrified of Trump. You know, he's going to come after me. Us all.
Yeah.
He's going to come after me. Well, why would he need to come after you, Mr. De Niro? Yes. And of course, there's like five different stories that were buried about him. And one of them was that he was arrested for pedophilia. Having sex with a minor in a hotel, and he was arrested overseas, and then somehow they just shut it down. So
he paid to get that taken care of out of court.
Yeah.
And so these are the types of things that are going on, and people just don't want to believe it. And I get it. They want to believe that humanity could be so evil, and that their country and all the people they love, who make all the movies they love, could be so evil.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like a mystery Babylon. America is like this portion of America is it needs repentance and returning to God. So
yeah, well, we're T minus 8 months to the election now, and so we do want to leave words of hope. The exposure is part of the shaking up, and at some point there won't be laughter when somebody walks across a stage nude to get his award, to make a statement, his humiliation ritual that he has to do to bow to the powers that be. That same individual had to wear a skirt in his last his last film. So there are many things that they have to show in Hollywood that they're giving authority over to the directors and those that the power structures that are there in Hollywood, which are the power structures for the elite system. And at some point very quickly in this year, people will start coming to our listeners, people who listen. You're listening because you know some things, and you'll need to be ready to help them navigate what's going on. So have a message of hope. It's part of the wake up. Mm-hmm. We know that it is a zero sum game, and that's why we're doing this show.
Yes.
We know this is the election year. We know that the deep state knows they're losing. And so there's probably going to be false flag events. we know things will get scary. And it isn't to hunker down and just ask Jesus to rapture you up. We're here to occupy, to bring hope. Every generation has had their challenges. And so we want to encourage our listeners to be able to give an account. Hey, this is what is happening. There are more of us who love this nation than there are of those that hate this nation. Yes. What we see on TV and in the government are the top, the elite. They happen to have the camera in their hand. So we think everybody's like that, but everybody is not like that.
Right.
And so be ready to help people know what sort of Luciferian system's been going on.
Yeah, you're not alone. If you're finally starting to wake up, find some other people that are a little bit further of you. As you've always kind of thought, maybe they're right. Maybe these people that I've written off as conspiracy theorists, maybe I need to like check back with them and actually look at the facts and see what the facts say, not what I want to believe. And you know, and it's like, hey, we're not like excited about some of the truth that we're exposing. But it has to be done, you know. I mean, yeah. There's
a bunch of rotten tooth, you know, you need to know it's there to get it out.
Yeah.
And you know,
go ahead.
Go on. I was going to say, you know, once in a while, someone will come out and expose and, you know, and so by us keeping it on the forefront, you get people like this. Do you remember this great speech here?
Yes. Annual Golden Globe Awards.
He just
live from the Beverly Hills.
It's one of the best all time.
Los Angeles. I'm Ricky Gervais. Thank you. You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting these awards. So,
see, and he doesn't care.
I'm joking. I never did. Let's go out with
Anyway, he goes on and he just says he accuses them all of
pedophilia.
You know, being friends with Jeffrey Epstein. We've seen that many times and stuff like that. But you know, it's still one of the best all times. I mean, you can find it online still. People talk about it all the time. A lot of patriots, and it's been played over and over, probably more than any other Oscar host. I can't imagine anything else being played more than that. And so people navigate to the truth. And so when once in a while someone comes out and says, "I don't care," and he said that over and over, "I don't care," you know, he got to that point. This is the last time I'm going to host it. I really don't care.
Yeah, the black comedian Kat Johnson, he's that same way. He has not been bought. And if you can follow him or see some of his statements, he is talking about what he's seen in Hollywood very openly. And he said, "I'm a heterosexual. I'm not doing those things." And so he had to become his own producer, his own scheduler. And he's very, very funny, but he's serious, dead serious about the darkness in Hollywood. And he would not bow the knee. He would not put the dress on. He would not let go to the casting couch for homosexual activities and other perversions. He would not buy into their narrative, and he would not do pedophilia. And so they rejected him. And he said that he got offered scripts, and then when he saw what was in them and he said, "There's some things in here I can't do," then they took them away and they gave them to other people. So Kat Johnson's one to watch. And that's how we start supporting people, when people stand up and it has a cost for them. But it has a greater reward. And I believe that's true for us. We might be paying a cost at some point. But we know we'll have a better reward.
Yep. Yeah. And there's a lot of things that we're getting into past the hour. There's a lot of topics we didn't cover. I just want to say a couple things. One, we usually talk about Enoch News or Vigilant Fox. The top 10 things the news media is not telling you, go check those out this week. There's a bunch of really great stuff on there. There's a whole article on a whistleblower for Boeing that was found dead. Found outside his hotel. He was about to testify against Boeing. So he was Epstein. That's trending right now on X. Mm-hmm. There's some stuff on the collapse of Haiti right now. Years and years of Clinton corruption. Going back, I think it was 2010 when there was an earthquake there, and there was millions of billions of dollars given to Haiti, and it never went to the people. Went through the Clinton Foundation. It helped fund their daughter's wedding, and the people are saying we never received any of the money. And then, of course, there was that one situation with Laura Silsby, who was arrested in Haiti for trying to take 33 kids out of the country. And one of those non-government organizations aligned with the Clinton Foundation, she was sentenced to, like, I think a couple of years in prison. And they got, you know, the Clintons stepped in and got her.
Pardoned her.
Yeah. Yeah. And they said, oh, she was unlawfully transporting kids versus stealing them. And you know, she was taking kids out of the country without their parents' approval.
And, right. They weren't orphans. Most of them were from intact families that had not gotten hit by the earthquake.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. She's trafficking them.
And that's another big deal that's been going on and it's been exposed. It's going to continue to be exposed. And when you guys are out there and you're ready to hear about it and you're ready to learn about it and you're tough enough to step into it and look at the actual facts, we're here to help you. And there's a lot of people out there right now who are, you know, in California and all the states throughout the union that are here saying, listen, we'll help you, like, question the narrative. We'll help you wake up and just ask us and we'll help you through that process.
Yep. When people are working with governments and they are now saying that trafficking is beyond drug trafficking in finances and stuff like that, you know, these stories are true. You can't just say, oh, that's just too bizarre. I can't believe it. It's like, well, something is going to generate that kind of money that surpasses the drug. Everyone knows about drugs, right? I mean, you got fentanyl coming over the border, open borders, you know, the cartel. Obviously, there's a lot of money. And if government officials are saying, hey, this is surpassing that, then it's going to require lots of children. And so these stories, you've got to take them serious. You can't just say, oh, that's too horrible. No way. You know, look the other way. It's anyway. Yeah, definitely. So
it's wake up time.
Yep.
Wake up. And everyone has to play a part.
Yep. Definitely. Well, it's been a good week. Good show. Share it. We'd like to see more. I know when I turn the background music, sometimes the microphone turns off, hopefully. But anyway, it was a good night. Thank you for watching. And we look forward to next week. News is changing quickly.
Yep. Stay well. Stay alert. Stay in prayer and question the narrative. Use your brain. It's what God gave it to you.